The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, founder of Passion Conferences, Louis Giglio, inspires young people to know Jesus and live for His glory.
God has a specific plan for all of us. He has a specific assignment that matches our unique gifting, our unique abilities, our life experience. And if we'll trust Him and we'll stay open to Him, we will end up in places that we will shake our heads and say, how did I get here? How did all this happen? And God, why me?
Next on Life Today.
You all are good. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Louis Giglio with us. And if you're not familiar with Passion, this is the story of Passion. This is perhaps one of the greatest moves of God's Spirit on young people, and they actually focus on an age group, which, you know, really bothers some young people because they want in it too. Matter of fact, I've been trying to get in, and I can't get in. But they have it for 18 to 25-year-olds, primarily the college-age young people. And I see here on the front of the book, Francis Chan, who's been here, Beth Moore, who teaches Wednesdays and has been for years, John Piper, who's so gifted, Judah Smith. My goodness, he's a young guy. He's cool. And then Christine Kane. Listen, Christine Kane.
I like it how none of those other people were cool. And then all of a sudden,
yeah, you
cool.
Go, but he's cool. Yeah, but he's like great. You. He's cool. Would you welcome Louis Giglio to Life Today?
It's so great to see you guys.
Yeah. You're here with the cool old couple.
I love it. Judah's going to love that. I'm going to say, we were going down the list, Judah, and when it got to you, all of a sudden it got cool.
That's right. He'll really like that.
He will appreciate that.
Because he knows that's really where he needs to be at school. Tell us about Passion, because it's a phenomenal thing.
I think that what you were saying in the setup is so helpful. It reminded me even when you said it, and I think it's true for everybody watching today, that I was a grad student here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Came to seminary not knowing exactly what that meant, knew God had called me, but I didn't know exactly to what. College was not on my radar. College ministry wasn't on my radar. And by God's choosing, He sent me my first summer in seminary to be a summer college intern at a church in Houston, Texas. And I didn't really want to do it, but a friend was going to be the high school intern. She kind of talked me into going for the job interview. I went, ended up at this wonderful church in Houston. And not only did I meet Shelley Graves, who's now Shelley Giglio, and she was in the college ministry, so we'll kind of put that as a footnote. But I also, my heart blew up for these students. And I fell in love with ministering to college students.
Were you focusing on a particular university there?
Well,
like University of Houston,
the kids at that school came home. They came home from TCU and Texas A&M and UT and Baylor. Okay. And they all came back home for the summer. And then they'd all go back to school in the school year. And so for 3 years, we were there in the summer, every summer. And that started a process. I had a lunch one day with a student at Baylor. She was a sophomore named Kay Dossie. She was a tri-delt. She was amazing. She was influential. And as the very first summer that I was in Houston, I was going to grad school at Baylor after seminary. And she looked at me one day at the end of the summer and she said, over lunch, she said, you know, God's bringing you to Baylor for a reason. And when she said that, you know, sometimes somebody says something to you and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. When she said that, it just clicked as if God had said it. And I knew right then there was a purpose in me going to grad school at Baylor. And she, along with five of her friends, started a Bible study there. And I started teaching it on Monday nights. And after a year or two, there were 1,500 Baylor students coming to this Bible study. And that was the seed of what God was going to do. Kay Dossie got ovarian cancer and went to heaven when she was 27 years old. Mm-hmm. She's never seen a Passion conference, never knew about Passion movement, but her faith and her willingness to step out with God was the seed that God used to do all of this that's
Praise
touched
God.
So many people around the world. So you don't have to know exactly where you're going. You just have to be available. And you don't have to know how all the boxes add up. For me as a seminary student, I didn't see a box that said, Louis, you're going to be an entrepreneurial movement starter. It was either youth pastor, minister of missions, minister of education, pastor. Those were your choices in that day. But God has a specific plan for all of us. He has a specific assignment that matches our unique gifting, our unique abilities, our life experience. And if we'll trust Him and we'll stay open to Him, we will end up in places that we will shake our heads and say, how did I get here? How did all this happen? And God, why me? But that's the story of God. It was the story of David. It's the story of everyone who's been available to God, who's had a heart for Him. Mm.
I think it is so wonderful what God is doing. I rejoice with you. When we see, you know, we played some of your footage from what's happening and to see these young people responding, some of the things you use. I noticed something interesting on your hand that's got my attention, and hold it up with a, I imagine some people were wondering if you cut yourself. But that stands out, you know, it's very noticeable. It's, you have several other little pieces of something.
Those are Judas. Yeah. I borrowed those
from
Judas.
Somebody may, yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. Somebody may ask about them, but not likely, but yeah. That will get their attention. What is that? Yeah. What's the...
Well, the thing about university students and what we've loved at Passion is we've tried to wed the idea of worship and justice, because God doesn't just want us to sing songs. That's not completely what worship's all about. Worship is also about going to the last and least of these, which is what you guys do so well. God said that I do want you to give me a sacrifice of praise, but this is what it is. It's the fruit of lips. This is Hebrews 13, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. But then He said, and do not neglect doing good. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And this generation gets that. And we've just had 37,000 university students in two events in Atlanta and Houston just in the past few weeks. And the atmosphere of worship is electric. The presence of God is powerful. Our worship leaders are the best on the planet. But the students know that God wants more than a song. And so we're pushing causes to the front all the time. And right now, the cause is for the 27 million men, women, and children in this world that are trapped in slavery, human trafficking, slavery in mines, slavery in brick factories, slavery in domestic labor, more slaves right now on planet Earth than at any time in human history. Right now, in our lifetime.
And basically, that seems to be tragically hidden.
It's tragically hidden. And so, End It Movement is a coalition of a bunch of people who are on the ground doing the work of freeing slaves, of restoring them, building their lives back. And all we're trying to do is help raise our voice. And so this Thursday, millions of people around America and across the world will put a red X on their hand. And as they go through their day, people will say, what's up with the X? And it gives us a chance to say, I'm just raising my voice for the 27 million slaves in the world who have no voice today. Mm-hmm. And most people say in response to that, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And so awareness is not the whole process, but it is the first step to bringing freedom to people
in this
world. If
someone wanted to go online and get insight, where would they go to learn about that and how they might help? Because we'll actually ask people today to help us free girls from the sex trafficking, which is part of the sex slavery that's a multi-billion dollar producer for these terrible people who are predators and who are using them. Where would they go to find out?
They could go to enditmovement.com. And there they can find out about the cause of slavery. They can get information if they want to make a presentation to their community group, their ladies' Bible study, their class at school. But they also can find out who our 12 coalition partners are, people like IJM, Free the Slaves, A21, some of these amazing organizations that are on the ground right now in countries around the world, actually doing the work, breaking down the doors of brothels, bringing these criminals to justice, building places where these children, men, women, boys can be restored and find hope. And God is doing that, and that's the beauty of this story. The tragedy of it is, it's hell on earth for millions of people tonight. But the beauty of it is the grace of God is strong and powerful, and it can even take a little life that's been shattered and broken and torn apart and restore that life and rebuild it and bring hope and bring a smile and bring purpose and meaning. And we've seen it happen time after time. And that's what God is doing through this generation. They're saying with this red X, I'm in it to end it. And our generation is not going to stand by and do nothing. Our generation is going to speak up, fight, and defend those who cannot defend themselves. But you know, the gospel is an outward-facing gospel. And I think what happened in the church sometimes is that once we got saved, we were good. Once our family got saved, we were good. Once we got our church kind of established, we were good. And we forgot that the gospel came and found us. And that's how we got our lives restored.
Absolutely.
The gospel faces outward. It transforms us inward, but it always faces outward. And yes, if the gospel stops with me, I have the wrong gospel. The gospel passes through me, and it moves on to the next person, the person beyond that. And these students that are coming to Passion, this generation is an extraordinary generation. They're castigated as the, you know, there's more, there's the longest adolescence prolonged right now in the history of America. 30 million college age kids are living with their parents after graduating from high school and college. So that's a negative. Their cynicism is rampant. They're this and they're that and they're the other. But you know what? I flip it on the other side. They are hungry for God. They don't want just a form of God. They want God. They want to know this great God. They want a relationship with Christ. They want the power of God to work in their lives.
They're looking for realness.
They're looking for true meaning. Mm-hmm. And when they come through the doors at Passion, we don't spoon feed them. It's not like a little sermonette for Christian eds. It is like, here comes God, full throttle, full bore. Here comes the Word of God, presence of God, the kingdom of God, the ways of God, the plan of God, the mission of God. And we're not asking them to sort of tip their hat toward God. We're asking them to do what Passion's all about. Passion, the word passion, is not a word around zeal or enthusiasm. It is a word that means I'm going to be squeezed to death. That's why we call the last week of Jesus' life Passion Week. Mm-hmm. And the definition we've used for passion from the very beginning is this: passion is the degree of difficulty we are willing to endure to accomplish the goal. And if the goal is that Jesus be glorified, and that is the goal, by the way, because in this life and the life to come, only one name's going to stand. Only one fame is going to endure, and it's the fame and the name of Jesus. And if that's true, then there's nothing that I wouldn't do to yield my life fully, whether I'm a doctor or a preacher or a filmmaker or a homemaker, to make sure that my life counts for what counts most in this world, and that's the glory of God. And so we're challenging them to do what Jesus did, give it all away so that He can be known, so God's glory can be known in this world. And they're saying, we're ready. That's what we want to do.
Do you find that they look at the older generation and think, boy, have they made a mess of things and we've got to straighten it out? Or is it more of an attitude, we want to help because we do see what's happening?
Well, this, you know, and I'm not a psychologist, but this is a broken generation. I mean, these kids are coming out of a lot of brokenness. We all are coming out of a lot of brokenness. And I think it's just recovering hope that I actually can do something in this world, that God can use me in this world. Absolutely. And I think that they do look at the older generation and kind of wonder, where did this go off the tracks? But I think more of them are looking at someone like Beth Moore, who steps before them, and she is so on fire for God that you think she might combust right there in front of you while she's teaching. And John Piper's coming. John Piper's always got a sport coat on. You're like, what are you doing with a sport coat on at Passion? But you know what? Students love it. Because here's the guy that's in another chapter of life, and he is more passionate about the presence and power of God than they are. He's more determined to get a hold of God than they are. And it gives you hope. You look up the arc of life and you go, wow, you can keep going with God the whole way, right? It doesn't get shallower, it gets deeper. It doesn't get slower, it gets faster. It doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. The kingdom of God grows and grows and grows, and then you see Jesus face to face.
The issue is not how big you think your church is, it's how big your God is in whatever church you're in or whatever situation you're in. I can just testify, here we are 51 years married. We've got three children, one's in heaven. We've got 11 grandchildren. They all love God. They're all excited about Jesus. They all have relationship. And I'm just telling you, this is how we came after God with our whole heart. As a matter of fact, when I drifted from intimacy with God, I didn't get caught in trouble. I didn't get caught in sin. It wasn't like there wasn't any of it there. Lust was burning in my heart. I was terribly distracted. And you know what brought me back? Nobody accused me. Nobody even thought. They thought I was the guy on the shining armor on the white horse doing all the good things. But I missed Jesus. I missed the intimacy with Jesus. That's what drew me back. And I didn't care what I lost. I'm going for God. Didn't matter what anybody said. I'm going for Him. And this is we began there, first love, come back to first love, live there. And here we are. This is where we live. That's what I'm seeing happening to young people. It's what needs to happen to every person, no matter how old they are. We talk about the cross. Easter is a season. when Good Friday could be considered the most awful if we didn't understand the cross. You showed young people, when we think about the cross, and then we think about the resurrection of the living Christ, which celebrate Easter every day. He's alive every day. Mm-hmm. He is raised to live in us, sent the Holy Spirit just like Him to live in us. But you showed the kids in many of those conferences the key in the blood, what it looks like. It's called, what's it called?
It's called laminin. Yes, it's a cell adhesion molecule that I found out about from a man actually in Tyler, Texas, a biologist at a university here in Texas. And at the end of one of my messages where I was talking about the universe and God being the creator of all things, and we ended up in this weird conversation, and I told him I was working on a message about God's glory in the human body. And he looked at me and said, well, I'll tell you what your closing deal is going to be in that message. It's laminin. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. He writes it on his business card, says, go look it up. Yeah. So I went and Googled laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Well, if you go Google laminin now, there are pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of stuff about laminin. When I went and Googled laminin, nobody had Googled laminin before. there were two entries, and both of them had black and white photos attached to them of this cell adhesion molecule. It's a base molecule. It's in the membrane of our human body. It actually literally holds our organs together, holds our skin together. And it is, its structural formation is the perfect form of a cross. And there's going to be a naysayer because our human bodies are not rigid. And if you get laminin and you squiggle it up, you can ball it up. But if you look at it and its diagram, its organic diagram, it's the perfect cross. Shape of a mm-hmm. cross. And it just brought me back to Colossians 1, that Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. It could be a coincidence that a cell adhesion molecule called laminin is the shape of a cross, or it just could be pretty miraculous that there are literally billions, billions of little crosses holding our bodies together.
I like that right because now. That's the key. And really, by the way, it's time to understand passion. The book is in the bookstores. I'll gladly send it to you. We'll send it to you if you'll just share this life of God because of the passion and love that He has. Because of the cross by which all things are held together mm-hmm. and the resurrected life of the one who died that we praise God for, not just at Easter, but every day and share Him. I want to show you, and by the way, Louis, we love you. Thank God for what you're doing. If people want to know where all you're going to be, what's the best website to go to know where the various conferences will be and how they might be involved in any of the things that God put on your heart, where do they go?
Well, if anybody just searches Passion Conference, it's going to lead them straight to our website, passionconferences.com, or they can track with our home church at Passion City Church, Atlanta, Georgia. My talks are there every week. We post them online for free. Folks can watch and track along with us, either PassionCityChurch.com or PassionConferences.com.
That's great. And I hope you'll go there. I want you to do something that he's just referenced earlier. I want you to do something about setting people free from slavery. Now, listen to this. Listen to the voice of one trapped in bondage. Mm. And you're the answer because he's the answer.
I know I once was a child. Some still say that I am. But what I remember of it has been smothered by the darkness I now know. Look at me. Not past me. My life is not mine. I am owned, yet I'm disowned. I can hardly breathe. My mind is shattered into 1,000 pieces. Shattered 7 times, 8 times a day at the hands of strangers. Over 2,500 times this year. the hands of sick strangers. Please, someone, rescue me. Put me back together.
And by the grace of God, we have. And we will. Reach as far as we are enabled by you to reach as many as we are enabled to reach. Yes, Betty and I care. And when we saw the plight on the mission field, we asked God almost 25 years ago, do you want us to stay here? Right in the midst of all this suffering and pain. And we were ready. And God spoke through the missionaries and said, please don't. Please go back. So we can stay if you'll get them to help us. And I did not know if the viewers of the television ministry that we'd been a part of for many years, since 1968, and we had started doing the servant role to help others, I did not know if you would help with mission outreaches, and I certainly didn't know if you'd help with that one. But you have. And so when that girl says, help me, don't look past me. Please rescue me. We're able to say yes.
Yes, we are. And first of all, thank you so much if you've been one of those that has joined with Life Outreach to make the difference in the lives of these precious children. As I was watching and listening to that precious young girl, I felt like she was saying, please, someone, make it stop. Make it stop. Someone care about me. Someone notice me in a way that will give me hope and strength and get me out of this situation that I'm in and I'm destined to stay in if someone doesn't reach out. So thank you for helping us if you've helped before. If this is a first time, God bless you. Please help us help these children.
And you know, we've been able to say because of you, we'll be able to make it stop. But we've been able to say something else because of Jesus and because of His love, we'll be able to make it start. A new life. So we rescue, we reach out, we rescue them, and we restore them. We're teaching these girls, once we get them out, and we need to build a safe house right now in Cambodia, part of the expansion of the outreaches to many countries right now. Some of them, we can't tell even where they are because it'd lead to the termination of missionaries. Even in Thailand right now, we're not able to show the faces of the children anymore that have been rescued and they're in our homes. Matter of fact, they're cutting right now. You can see the kids singing. We used to be able to show you their faces. We can't now because sometimes people are hurt them just because they were rescued or headed off before the predator got them. So we're working in touchy situations. We need a safe house, $350,000. This is the last week. I've prayed, God, give us 350 people who'll give $1,000. Now, that would be the answer, but it may be that somebody gives several thousand. And then think about this. $128 is the average cost to rescue one of these girls. Some of our friends said we'll match that gift. If you will help rescue one, we'll double it and make it two. Or if you give 64, we'll have enough. We'll have the 128. We have some gifts to send you this last week to say thank you for your help. We have the beautiful glass sculpture, the blessing, to send to those of you who will help us build that safe house. Please, this last week, let's be an answer to that girl's heart cry. We'll make it stop. We'll add to it. We'll make a new start for you because of the love of God. Take your bank card. Please do it. Please move beyond just watching and take action. Be the hands of Jesus. Reach out. Make the gift. Use that card like a check or write a check to Life, but call us and say, I'm putting it in the mail. Would you do that? You can go online, and many people do now. Thank God for that. Go online, lifetoday.org, and you'll be able to make the gift there. Father, I thank you for every person moved by you, moving in obedience to share your love. Thank you for the viewers that see through your eyes and express your heart. In Jesus' name, thank you for expressing the heart of God. Thank you for making it stop for girls like the one you heard. Thanks for making that gift.
human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the last week, and I just pray every one of you who can help will help, and thank God for the wonderful friends who said they would match your gift to set one free becomes two. If you'd like to have passion, what a story. These wonderful, beautiful communicators of truth that also share. Pick out the messages that he felt really spoke that everybody needed to hear who didn't go to Passion or couldn't. And I know you'll be blessed. If you'd like to have it, you help us rescue those in bondage, and we'll gladly send it to you to say thank you. Would you say thanks to Louis Giglio again? Thank God for Passion. I do thank God for you, buddy. I really do. Thank all of you so much for watching, and we really do thank you for your help. There are the websites. You want to learn about what's happening with Passion. Bless you all.
I'm just a mama in Plano, Texas with blonde hair and a white Suburban.
Break the cycle of defeat in your life and live free next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.